Hello, my fantastic friends. Hope you guys are having a wonderful morning. Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of The Brower Show, otherwise known as the Ted and Austin Brower Show, as seen here on thebrowershow.com, our latest and greatest podcast platform that brings you the world news and health research. Hope you guys are enjoying this every day because we do this a lot.
I want you to do me a favor.
I want you
to go up here and go to healthmasters.com for all the old people that basically like to use our old website.
I got to find it real quick.
Okay, but we'll find it. Hang on.
You did not cue me up for that.
Well, I know I did not. Todd told me about Angel Awards this morning because it's not right here.
Let me see.
So let's go here. We'll show you how to do this right quick. This will be fun. Awesome. Okay. Yeah, we're waiting.
I got to cue it up here.
Notice I can't have the button.
There we go. All right.
Go down here where it says, all the way down. Go to all the archive shows right here.
Okay.
Click on that. Hopefully your cache is clear.
Maybe.
Boom,
not.
Right here. Angel Wars series right there.
There
see? Boom, done. Click on that. Boom, Angel Wars. Detailed right here. What it is, that's the four-hour show right here. And you got part one, part two, part three, part four, part eight, all the way through.
There you go. And then if you guys are on the Brower Show, we put it at the very top. Showed you guys the other day at the top search bar at Brower Show.
Yeah, I don't know why we didn't do this 2 years ago when we did that program.
I don't know.
We've had so many.
At the top right here, though, you click Angel Wars.
Boom, done, right there.
So, I mean, we can't make it any easier.
We could send them all a PDF.
No. If we're going to do that, we can send everybody cassette tapes in the mail.
No. VHS.
VHS. You get to watch us.
Yeah.
For 3.5 long hours.
No, reel to reel.
We didn't do video on that show, did we?
No,
that's
we
all
didn't.
Audio.
Well, now what we could do, we could have Michael Barrett come in and basically put screenshots throughout the entire 3.5 hours.
You could do that.
In other words, let a screenshot go for like 30 seconds, do another one.
Or.
Here we go. I'm not redoing the show either.
We could go in and we could have an entire video AI presentation of me and you talking about it.
That's actually possible.
That'd be wild. No, I know AI's kind of weird, but they have that now.
I think it'd be better to go ahead and put some still shots.
Still shots in there.
We'll show the angels with claws and all that kind of stuff in there.
Dinosaurs.
Nephilim. Beginning of the Earth. That'd be pretty cool, actually.
It would be good to put something like that on there.
Would you guys like to have us do that? Who would like to volunteer to do that?
Yeah, I was about to say, that's supposed to be 4 hours.
Oh, I got my shake. Yeah, I've already had my purple steak.
I drank mine. It didn't last but about 30 seconds. I was going to time it because I told somebody the other day, they didn't believe me. I said, to do a purple stick and 3 scoops of protein first thing in the morning before you walk out the door is less than a minute. It's like, oh, it'll take longer than that.
Well, I've got about 8-10 ounces of water there.
Yeah, you got water in a shaker. You throw 3 scoops of protein. I like 3 scoops of protein.
If I spill this on myself,
are you going to chug it?
I'm going to chug it. Okay.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah. There you go. I'm lumpy. You easily could put that in a shaker with a purple stick, shake it and drink it under a minute and get out the door all day long. If you can't do that, then
I got to sit here for a second. I'm going to chug that.
That purple stick's going to kick in fast. Whenever you chug them like that, you chug like 2 purple sticks.
Mm-hmm.
It's rather exciting. Get your morning going and kick pretty fast. I don't like to sip on stuff. I'm not a sipper. I like to get it done and get it going and get the rest of my day started. Because I have things to do, and speaking of things to do, make sure you guys are checking out the product of the week, the Ultimate Multiple Formula, on sale right now. I had a bottle over here. I was on the Hagman show last night. Hope you guys enjoyed that if you watched it.
We came in here last night. I left the door open. There was a feral cat running around.
So before the Hagman show, I had a barricaded subject. Feral cat, wide open, crazy.
Why do they look so crazy, bud?
Because he was crazy. It was one of those. Bleh!
So we're gonna
drag him out.
Do we have a cat picture?
I don't have a cute enough. But the color was similar, though.
Yeah.
That's the funny part.
Always have to have a cat picture. And I got to try to find it.
So up until about 2 minutes before going live, I was trying to extricate this cat from underneath a bed in the back room while he's basically took a dump on the carpet and run around everywhere. Yeah, that's about what he looked like last night.
Okay. Can you see it, Rich?
But for all of you cat lovers, the cat was not injured in pulling him out, even though he was barricaded illegally on my residence.
I got to add a word.
Okay.
I got to add a word. The cat was not injured yet.
I don't know where he went. I got him outside and good riddance. Hopefully
we're going to put a cage out for him. We're going to relocate him.
When they start doing that and they start getting barricaded in there, they start urinating on everything. That is a problem. And when they start doing that, it starts stinking.
Did he urinate in here?
I don't know. I don't think so. I didn't smell it. He took a dump everywhere, though.
Everywhere? I thought it was just one place.
Well, I think he was, like, scared. He's like, as he's
running. Oh, God, it's perfect, it was a mess. Learning more.
So that was my start to my Hageman show. The show went great, by the way.
Find out. Give me a spray for toxoplasmosis.
Yeah, I know. He's covering fleas. He told this guy, big old furry one. I'm like, oh, God.
Why does this story keep getting worse?
Because it was a rough start. I was so prepped for Hageman. I had everything lined up. And then I'm doing that. It's like 8:59. His music's coming on. I finally get his cat. I'm running as fast as I can, get back, get loaded in. I'm like, okay, I'm sweating. They're like, you good? I'm like, I'm good.
I am so glad I didn't have to deal with getting rid of this cat.
Anyways, Ultimate Multiple on sale. Be sure to check everything out. And one thing that I saw that was very interesting, this is an article that came up now, and it said the world is noticing there's legit coup underway in the U.S. led by federal judges. And me and Doug talked about this in detail last night, from blocking the injunction now against from stopping transgenders in the military, stopping the EPA from basically pulling those $20 billion in grants back. All the things. The one judge who orders that, illegal gang members that are being, pulled out of the United States and relocated to another country, saying that the plane has to be turned around midair, they have to come back to the country and be released. These judges, man, these guys are absolute nightmares. And these guys are ruling from the bench exactly what they wanted them to do. And what's crazy about this now, as I was talking to Doug about it last night, and I personally think what they're trying to do is they're trying to set up Trump for contempt. They're trying to get him on contempt of something, and what they're going to do is they're going to try to pull the
They can't mess with the sitting president.
No, they can't.
They can, but they can't do anything.
But what they can do is this is why I'm bringing it up again. It's going to be more media obfuscation to put on the television every single day. Now the president in his second term is being hit with an impeachment charge again for contempt of court. And what these judges are trying to do is they're trying to show that they are the ones running the country, and that essentially the U.S. president, as they talked about the other day, one of the guys came on, he said, oh, no, these judges are basically the all authority of the United States. This is a crazy thing. And listen to this right now. Nationwide injunctions per president. Pull the camera 4 up on this, Rich. Yes, Bush, 6. Obama, 12. First Trump session, 64. Biden, 14. These are nationwide injunctions from federal judges per president. Look at this. Trump, 12 nationwide injunctions in the first 6 weeks of his presidency. 6 weeks. This is what they're going after. This is what they're trying to do. And Chuck Schumer said it in this interview from a year and a half ago. And he goes into detail about how they're getting all these judges on the bench so they can utilize them to push their agenda and essentially usurp the presidential order. So something I want to get out there, because me and Doug talked about it in detail last night. So be sure to check it out. And also, this is another interesting news story here. Remember why I told you guys one of the spooky parts about the Internet of Things? The 5G, 6G that talks to everyone.
That Schumer's an ugly dude, boy.
He's disgusting. The Internet of Things. Musk-hating hackers last night released all names and addresses of every single Tesla owner in the United States on open forums now. The disturbing website called DogeQuest.
With a chilling symbol.
This is a Molotov cocktail.
Oh.
Yeah. But what's crazy about this is,
well, they burn up by themselves. They don't really need to be ignited too much.
No. But what they're doing is they're doxing these. They're putting names of everybody out there.
Well, I thought all the green people liked the doggone.
Nah, that's where I was going to go with this. It's ironic now is what they're doing is they're basically trying to say that if you drive a Tesla, you're a fascist. And then Antifa needs to come firebomb you with Molotov cocktails. This is where they're getting at. And this is the issue when you start having
shit up sales.
Some guy put it the other day. We talked about it last night. He goes, I've traded in my Tesla for a Hyundai.
He's lost his bottom.
And all of a sudden, I laughed and I said, and just like that, the green agenda no longer matters anymore.
Just like that.
When it's not the current thing to do.
Not trendy.
Nobody cares when it's not trending anymore to be cool and have an EV and save the planet. Isn't it ironic how pathetic these individuals are where they only do what's the trending current thing? I thought I'd just get a kick out of that. But if you do own a Tesla and your information did get released, I would probably get your name pulled off that, whatever you have to do. I wouldn't want my personal information out there on a Doge website where all these – there's a video today. Guy walks up. He's on like – it's on a Ring footage. He sticks his hand in his pants and pulls out feces and rubs it on the door of the Tesla Cybertruck. This is how deranged these people are. I know that's graphic, but I mean, I'm looking at
why did you say that on the show? This is
no,
awful.
No. What I'm saying is this is how unhinged everybody is when all you have to do is control the narrative.
Well, why is he walking around with feces in his pants
that
to start
with? That was a $1 million question. That's why
he needs to change his underwear. This is disgusting. I mean, what's wrong with this guy?
But no, but think about
he's got some kind of rash. It's awful. Terrible story.
No,
terrible.
So I was so disturbed last night when Doug talked about it, because the thing about it is all of a sudden 12 months ago.
Doug told you about the feces in the camera?
We talked about the camera. Oh, the video's online.
Oh, my God.
So the thing about this is, but follow me on this. 12 months ago, it was the cool thing to do to drive an EV because they told you it was the cool thing to do. It was the cool thing to do all these things they told you. Now it's the cool thing to hate Elon Musk and hate Tesla. So everybody's now doing that because it's the cool thing to do. This is how mind-controlled the general population is and how weak-willed and weak-minded these people are, that they're using the mainstream media to control, literally, behavioral control.
Yeah, my mom used to say something. And I can't say much, and I'll try to go into some kind of detail because, you know, she was raised during World War II.
Correct.
And she said, and this is terrible shit. She shouldn't have said it, but she said it. She goes, because of the media in our country and how they believe, how the Americans believed everything the media said, even this back in the 60s, she said, Americana is a schrecklich dumm. In other words, the Americans are
unbelievably stupid.
Unbelievably stupid because they believe they believe everything they see on the TV. And she says, I can't believe that they're like this. And what happened, and it's funny to me, because so many of the Germans believed everything that Goebbels said.
That's exactly right.
And so she had seen what happens with propaganda.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to win this war as the Russian troops were marching into Berlin.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's just, you know, it's just, it was crazy, the population, how it was brainwashed in Germany to believe that they were still winning the war.
And that's what's happened now.
As Hitler's hopping on an airplane and flying out of, you know, Berlin on a little.
To Argentina.
He supposedly flew out on a little prop plane, you know, right on the streets of Berlin. They opened it up for him. They landed it, put him on that plane, took him over to the to a base and put him on a submarine, took him to Argentina.
And that's or Antarctica.
I don't think he went to Antarctica, but Argentina. And I mean, I've read multiple books on that, which I believe that's what happened. And
yeah.
That's why he gave them the detonators for the atomic bomb. Because if you watch that movie Oppenheimer,
yeah,
their detonators didn't work.
I remember that.
And suddenly their detonators work.
Yeah.
You know, so it's some crazy stuff. You know, a lot of people are really curious about the actual prevalence of nuclear weapons to this day because of the technology that was so advanced that was brought to the Germans by the Viril Maidens.
Yeah.
Man, we're going there today. This is
I don't
stuff.
Know if there today.
You know what a Viril Maiden is?
You told me about them before.
Yeah. They're real pretty. And they were like, they had these extrasensory perceptional things. They would go in and talk to these other entities in these other dimensions.
Well, they'd be like witches, weren't they?
Yeah, I guess they
would
be.
Yeah, so that's right. Put my take on it.
Yeah, and then they would be, but they were good looking, which is, if that's a possibility. I can't believe I just said that.
They're not all witches with, you know, a big green face and a gigantic nose and a black top hat.
I'll pull one of them up here. One of them was, it was crazy that the type of technology the Germans had with the Glocke, using liquid mercury and making this thing basically time travel and float by itself and all kinds of crap.
Well, I know they were prevalent when I read the anti-aging. Or not the anti-gravity.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, they had all that. But by the way, the murder of JFK was not what we were told. Bullets don't turn around and go backwards. I mean, it's ridiculous. This is an interesting article. Apparently, more and more is coming out. Several people now warning, and they're saying that, you know, the sensitive documents go way back, and that Oswald was on the CIA payroll. And you got to remember, the guy who shot him was Mossad. We talked about that on yesterday's show.
Yep.
He added that KGB intelligence conducted their own investigation and concluded that LBJ was behind the Kennedy assassination. And I completely agree with that. And I also believe that he was working with Mossad to make it happen. Here's what happened after this shooting took place. Immediately after JFK, I didn't know this, by the way, was murdered, his limousine was flown to D.C. and stored in the White House garage. Instead of being preserved as a crime scene, the limo was thoroughly clean and the interior was fully reupholstered, effectively destroying any forensic evidence. I didn't know that, Austin.
Not either.
You know, when Johnson was sworn in as president on the plane carrying JFK's body, it was unnecessary. Jacqueline Kennedy was basically forced to stand there as he was sworn in, still wearing the suit covered with blood.
Wow.
Okay. You know, and you know, it's crazy. Russia allegedly warned the U.S. that JFK would be killed. Russia's warned us many times, most recently about the Boston bomber. JFK was extremely worried about the CIA, and he wanted to disband them to 1,000 points because of the Bay of Pigs. And it says that he was also killed by the enemies in his government. And we start to see all of this stuff now coming out more and more and more and more. And you know the crazy part about all of this stuff, I'm not going to read any more of this stuff because we covered it so much in the last couple of weeks, is that, you know, we have known for 60 years that the Warren Commission's findings were a complete and total lie. But yet here we were supposedly trying to believe these guys all of the time. And, you know, and the sad part about it is that, you know, the government with Walter Cronkite and Dan Rather, by the way, you know, they basically had a, how should I say, full coup d'etat of the media through Operation Mockingbird, Austin, and they put out whatever they wanted to put out. And then Walter Cronkite would get out there with Huntley Brinkley, and he'd go, these people are conspiracy theorists. I don't believe the Warren Commission. And they coined the term, the CIA did conspiracy theorists.
Yep.
And they made fun of them because these weren't conspiracy theorists. These are people that were questioning the original alternative,
right.
the national narrative. And they were saying, this doesn't make any sense. And all of a sudden, they started to say, well, these guys are conspiracy theorists. And they started ridiculing anybody who came up with an alternative theory as to what happened. And that's why we are to where we are today. Now, the media has done the same thing. And now alt media has been insanely compromised with more CIA, Operation Mockingbird. And we talked about that in depth yesterday. And it's sad to me.
Well, you've seen that same play because it's so effective. What you do is you ridicule the opposition and call them fake news. That's what you do. When you're doing psychological warfare, you make everybody make fun of the person that's calling out the truth. So it doesn't, nobody can discern the truth from the lies anymore because essentially everything is constantly compromised. With a perfect example in any recent time was COVID. I mean, when they had the frontline doctors that were working with intravenous vitamin C, the frontline doctors that were working with ivermectin and zinc, the frontline doctors that were talking about how remdesivir was literally killing everyone, the mainstream media, every single chance it got on television and said, this is fake news. This is medical misinformation, and this is illegal. These people are causing deaths. They're talking about fake news. This could not be talked about. Anthony Fauci got so bold to come up there and say, if you basically question me, you're questioning science. You can't question me.
This is supposedly one of the Viril Maidens. So if she's a witch, well, whatever, pretty witch.
Go back to that again.
But no, I told you I'd pull it up. There you have it. I just didn't want to do it. There
but no, me and Doug talked briefly about the whole thing with JFK, and it was some crazy stuff as far as what we've seen, what we've known, but also on top of that, too, how much we're constantly lied to. So at the end of the day, if you believe anything, the mainstream media and majority of what the government says to you, man, that's your clown show to play with because, quite frankly, I don't think anybody has any faith in what's going on anymore with these guys because they're clearly got an agenda, and now we're seeing that more than ever. And one thing I saw, though, this is a good news. Operation Stork Speed, HHS launches plan for more testing and scrutiny of infant formula ingredients. They're going in now and going to start testing and labeling and monitoring after they found significant levels of contaminants, including lead and arsenic in commercially available baby formula. Now, I went into detail on this last night. If you want to hear more on the shows, I just want to cover briefly today. The thing that's happened now is majority of the raw ingredients that are going into these baby formulas are out of China. Majority of things that come out of China, that's food, that's basically consumable items, are contaminated. China has very, very few restrictions on their exports as far as with food. It's contaminated with lead, cadmium, mercury, arsenic. It's horrible stuff. That's why I don't use raws from China. And so what they're saying is here, dozens upon dozens of these baby formulas, food that realistically should be completely and totally monitored and free from any heavy metals or toxins, considering this fact it's going in an infant. Think about this for a second. The FDA goes, we're going to recall 10,000 pounds of organic butter because it doesn't say contains dairy on the label beside it. We're recalling all of it. But yet you've got baby formula that's been repeatedly tested for heavy metals and toxins and hormone chemical disruptors like PFAS and all these other ingredients in it, like high fructose corn syrup, sucrose, corn syrup solids. Oh, it's perfectly fine. We're not pulling that off the market. It's just fine. They just need to eat it and be done with it and be happy about it. GMO Science from 2024 did a study on 20 formulas made by well-known brands. All samples tested positive for aluminum lead. Most samples contain arsenic, cadmium, and mercury, while 35% of those samples contain all heavy metals. This isn't baby formula that they're pushing to kids on a regular basis now. And the FDA's current standards are outdated. Rather than prioritizing the actual nutrient needs for infants, McIntosh said, she pointed to current regulations that allow seed oil, industrial additives that do not set sugar or carbohydrate content, do not require transparency on ingredient sourcing at all. She said the widespread use of soybean oil, corn syrup, and sucrose, which is table sugar and baby formula, raise concerns about the health benefits of these products. So again, my friends, be very cautious on this stuff as far as if you got babies eating it. I think there's like two infant formulas I've ever seen on the market, both of them coming out of Germany and Europe. They're actually clean. The vast majority of them on the shelves in the United States, they're complete and total trash.
You know, I feel sorry for women, and I mean this very sincerely, who can't produce enough milk to feed their infants.
Yeah.
And they're forced to use formula.
I know.
And they don't know any better. They don't know any difference. And, you know, we have a great recipe for using goat's milk.
Correct.
But you've got to fortify it. It's not enough for humans.
Yeah.
You've got to fortify with some vitamin E and some other things in there, too. Some
D3.
Liver oil, D3. With it. Yeah, but you got to be real careful with D3, too, not give the baby too much. And so very, very important that you follow a good recipe for the formula if you're going to make it yourself. By the way, you were right. This Viril Maiden was a witch.
Oh, I figured.
I didn't know that. She was a medium.
Yeah.
And that's what she said. It says it was rumored that an American expedition to Antarctica was launched mainly after the war. It was widely, because you brought up Antarctica, widely known that Americans sought Nazi technology after the defeat of the Germans. Although the Antarctic expedition known as Operation High Jump, which you've covered before, proclaimed their objective was to study Antarctica, many believe Admiral Richard Byrd's the true objective was to flush out Germans in Antarctica and capture alien UFO technology. And the expedition began in 1945 and it ended abruptly.
Yep.
When this column was attacked in March of 1947, 2 months later, the world received the first reports of modern-day UFO in Roswell. 1947, Keith Arnold in our Washington State, maybe 20 minutes from the place that I'm reporting podcast. So I'm going to post all this for you guys that are curious about this kind of stuff. But it goes right back to Angel Wars. We cover this stuff in Angel Wars. Not, we don't talk about Viril Maidens, but we talk about the UFOs and all the other stuff out there. Operation High Jump, exploring Antarctica with the U.S. Navy. And I spoke to a man who was on the Joyce Riley show with me, who was a really high admiral level in the military, and he was a doctor. And he told me he was in Antarctica, and he was in one of the deep underground bases, and he said it had like dome ceilings that were 300 feet high, ice.
Wow.
And that they had their own source of light from the plankton that was on the ceilings. And he was there to discuss with the people that were there how they lit the entire dome with the plankton. And he says there were all kinds of relics of Nazi stuff there when he saw it.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, we know this from deep water exploration as far as you have the fish down there and other types of plankton that actually produce its own light. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got those deep water anglers that have the big old bulbs hanging out in front that actually light stuff up. So, I mean, there's all types of ways to illuminate different things. And we already know ice domes are very real and very easy to make in some cases naturally where they, I mean, you have your own shell.
He said it was so big it produces its own weather.
Wow.
It was that big.
I don't doubt it. Antarctica's got some strange things about it that nobody wants to talk about. Again, it's probably why I've had such a unique obsession with it. I looked at doing an explorer thing.
You know, the funny thing about this is, just for the heads up for you guys, you see that little circle around Antarctica? That was a circle. They've circumvented Antarctica, right? And they're telling us that we live on a ball, and the center of the ball is 25,000 miles around. Well, when they went around Antarctica, which is the very bottom, supposedly, like they say, it was 25,000 miles around that. Now, that's not really possible, is it? That's why I told you the math doesn't math with this whole stuff. That's why when they start telling you stuff about what the Earth looks like, what we are, what we live, who we are, they always throw constants in there.
Yeah.
When you try to do it without a constant, they don't ever tell you where the constant comes from. Have you ever noticed that also when you're in chemistry? They say, this is a constant. You're like, where did the constant come from? We don't know. It's a constant. And you're like, okay, but if you don't know, then how does this work? The formula doesn't work. Got to use the constant. And you're like, okay, whatever. Well, the constant was given by who knows what. I did a whole show one time here on the Ted and Austin Brower show on Sir Isaac Newton. That guy was Kabbalist, Luciferian, Synagogue of Satan wizard. I mean, he's bad. He's really, really bad. No, they have hidden his papers, Austin.
Have they?
Because he's such a loon, man. You know, the stuff he was doing was crazy. And they finally, and I did a whole show on it. And, you know, and so we can't tell you. Don't ask me what date it was, please. It was years ago. What day was that?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Pick one of the 2,600 shows.
Yeah, go back 2,600 shows. You'll find it. I'm sure I listed it. But it's just, that sounded awful. I apologize for that. That sounded abrasive. Sometimes I get abrasive.
You abrasive?
Yeah, never. Sometimes I do.
No, never.
Most of the time I'm really nice, but every once in a while. People are always, what day was this? You talked about it like 6 months ago, and I'm like, I don't remember. I apologize. If I didn't put it in the description, it was an oversight on my part.
Dude, it's hard to keep up with what's in the shows during the
whole
week.
We were joking about it last night. We were saying over 2,500, you know. That's
The problem is it's so much information.
And we still haven't run out of stuff to say. It's odd. I'm still telling you new stories. It reminds me of Joel Osteen. I know Joel, and I know, okay, don't start on me about him being a preacher, okay? I understand he's a great motivational speaker, that he is. But every time I listen to one of his sermons, it's exactly like the last sermon that he gave, but he's got new stories. You keep thinking, he's going to run out of new stories.
No, he keeps them fresh. Fresh analogy, no, fresh stories.
I don't know who writes his sermons for him, but he's a great speaker, great motivational speaker.
That was a great one.
But I always get a kick out of him because he always has some new story that he was telling. I'm like, how can he tell the same story over and over and over and over again? Okay, I know God's great. I got that. He is. Okay, and I know he wants you blessed. I got that one too. But that's it. That's his sermon. And you know.
God's great. God wants you blessed.
No.
Have a good day.
You send
No. Don't forget about the multiple offerings that you got to put in.
Well, no, Joel doesn't do multiple offerings.
He only does like three?
No, he only does one.
One?
I was there. And, you know, he actually invited me there one time. I got to speak to him.
I'm jaded from what I've dealt with.
But his wife was a daughter from one of the people from Operation Paperclip. German.
His wife was?
His wife is. Her father was a German rocket Nazi rocket scientist.
Oh, so she's a
supposedly. That's what I've read. Now I haven't asked her that. Quite frankly, she'd probably be pretty offended by that. But they were pretty smart dudes that came over. His wife's very, very, very bright.
That'd be a pretty abrasive question. Like, oh, Miss Olstein, nice to meet you. Was your grandfather involved in Operation Paperclip?
No, it's better. This is better. Was your dad really a Nazi?
Oh gosh. Look at me, Mr. Bro, you need to leave. Here's the door.
Oh gosh.
Oh man.
So, yeah. I hear he was really smart Nazi. Is that true?
Yeah.
By the way, here's an interesting article. It's one of those shows today. 10 signs that a significant portion of the population has gone nuts. Now I'm going to say this. Since this shot hit, and I've covered this before. I'm going to cover it kind of briefly. Remember that movie 2001: A Space Odyssey? I don't know if you ever saw that. Also, you ever see that? It's one of Stanley Kubrick's greatest. It came out like in 67. Right before he faked
the old movie.
It's right before he faked the NASA moon landing. Oh, did I say that? Oh, gosh. He did, by the way. That whole thing wasn't true. That whole thing was nonsense. But he's a phenomenal movie. And by the way, one of the best songs that's ever been recorded, 2001 Space Odyssey, played the Blue Danube. Da, 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 bum, dun, bum. Dun, I love that song, by the way. Strauss. And he was German, by the way. I just thought I'd mention that. But what was funny about this is that, you know, we were basically talking about, you know, the population, you know, and what they believe and what they don't believe and how a significant portion of them has gone nuts. And what's happened is after that COVID vaccine, Austin, it seems like a lot of people's brain is shut down. And what I was going to say about that movie is, remember when Hal was destroying and killing all the astronauts and the one astronaut, Dave, gets back into the ship through an emergency hatch? He floats over because the anti-gravity had been turned off. Hal was trying to stop everything. Opens up Hal's brain.
Yeah.
And it goes in it, floats into it, and starts disconnecting modules.
Unplugs himself, yeah.
And pretty soon, you know, Hal starts counting backwards from 10. He disconnected his brain, like certain components were being pulled out. And I see this now with people since the COVID shot from all of the clotting that their brain has had. As far as in my opinion, that's what's happened because these people are coming in now and they're acting like they're loons.
Well, and
they also, Hal starts counting back from, you know, he going A, B, C, D, this AI computer, the supercomputer, starts, you know, doing his ABCs, yeah. Counting backwards from 10.
Like he was regressing.
He was regressing. Yeah. They were turning off his cognitive centers. And that's what I see happening now with people. Yesterday, I pulled out of our, you know, road that's been here forever.
Yeah.
You know, Dickey Road.
Unbelievably traffic ridden now because
of and of course, they came out from the mini warehouses that we didn't want. And some minivan tried to cut in front of me. And I had the right of way, so I kind of eased on out. He starts running on my bumper. I try to speed up a little bit. He's on my bumper. I turn my emergency flashers on because I could not even see his tail or his tires. And I got in front of me. If the guy in front of me hits his brake, this guy's going to rear end me. I turn my flashers on, and he wouldn't get. And finally, I just tap my brake a little bit. He goes like, rah! You can see his face. That's how close he was. I can see his face in the mirror. And I thought myself, this is crazy. And I didn't tap my brake harder. He'd have hit me. But the point was, it didn't matter. Driving like a maniac. And I see this over and over and over again now. And I think to myself, wow, 10 signs that a significant portion of our population has gone nuts. And Schneider's right about this.
He goes,
have you noticed that people around you are behaving more erratically? Whoa. He goes, today our relationships are with screens. 4.8 hours a day the average person spends.
Yep.
87% of their social media time. Specifically, 37% of the teens say they spend 5 or more hours a day. This thing's gone nuts with all that blue light being poured into that brain. Many social media communities are breeding grounds for hate. They are. Look what's going on right now with Elon Musk. You talked about it earlier. Needless to say, this map out there, in order to take action, he's showing it with all this. Earliest, several motor vehicles were officially set on fire. Tesla service center in Vegas. He's talking about that. At some hospitals in New Jersey, patients are asked to provide preferred pronouns and sexual orientation for newborn infants. Unfortunately, we live in a world where many feel a need to inject cultural issues into everything. If you can believe it, Democrats in California recently began a meeting by reciting a prayer to Beyonce beyond Beyonce's lyrics. They were worshiping Beyonce. They were praying to Beyonce. Sadly, many of our top scientists are now trying to play God, which has been going on for a long time. In Sweden, one company has successfully developed an AI dog that has a functional digital nervous system capable of learning and adapting like humans. Despite all of our advanced technology, it appears that humanity is more unhappy than ever. Americans fill out approximately 6 billion prescriptions per year. Americans, not the world. Americans fill 6 billion prescriptions a year. That breaks to 19 prescriptions per person. Think about that, Austin.
Golly.
Think about that. 19 prescriptions per person per year. That's the average.
That's insane.
No, this is crazy. Earlier today, I was stunned to learn the use of ADHD medications is rising the fastest among middle-aged and older women. Why? Because they want to take an amphetamine compound. That's what that is. It's like methylphenidate. That's what it's called. It's like speed. Ritalin is like taking meth. It's horrible. It's one of the top 10 drugs in the world that's been slated for pharmaceutical theft. And so women in their middle age now are feeling so horrible because of their diets and their insulin levels and the junk they eat and going out with their girlfriends every day and drinking wine for lunch. I'm not talking about all of you, especially my listeners, but doggone it, I cannot believe that. It's turned into this national pastime of drinking wine all the time, and they feel horrible because their insulin's through the roof.
Especially with day drinking.
Oh, all the time.
What happens is it's not like you're going out for a Friday night and having a glass of wine with dinner. You're drinking in the middle of the afternoon, and then what happens is your blood sugar for the rest of the day because you're still continually eating. So really, when you have some, like, for alcohol at night, and your blood sugar basically stabilizes, and you wake up in the morning, you basically get your blood sugar back again. Your body can handle that in rare cases. When you're drinking in the morning or in the afternoon,
breakfast,
like the mimosas, that's all. When I tried one time. That's champagne and orange juice.
I dropped my sugar like a rock.
I had one. About 10 minutes later, I felt like death. I'm not joking. I was like, dude, I got to go lay down. My blood sugar went to the floor. I felt horrible. It was years ago. And I was like, I don't even want to be here. I'm not even having fun. And people do that, and they wonder why. I don't know why I'm having blood sugar problems. I don't know why I can't lose weight.
No, I was on a date a while back. Okay. This is a person I no longer see. And we're about to have lunch. She goes, I need a Bloody Mary to calm my stomach. I know, you know how I'm about alcohol. I can't stand alcohol. And I said, a Bloody Mary to calm your stomach.
Tomato
I said,
juice?
That's tomato juice and vodka. I said, really? I said, I don't think
with
so.
Peppers?
And she goes, and I said, well, I don't buy alcohol. So I'll pay for it myself. I said, no, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to leave. How about that? We're not going to eat. This is it. Date's done. You think I'm joking? I'm not kidding.
And,
no.
And I'm not picking on anybody.
This was lunch.
But yeah, but if you go out for, you go for a 12 o'clock afternoon meal and you got to drink alcohol to calm your stomach down in order to go out on a date,
there's something else going on.
At some point, you need to take a step back and evaluate as far as your life decisions and what you're doing and how you're eating and how you're living. Because in the day, you shouldn't be having to rely on alcohol at 12 o'clock in the afternoon in order to function. That's not a good place to be. I'm not picking on anybody because some people have issues with alcoholism and other mental issues, but you really do need to look at that as far as from a use. Because remember, alcohol is a nervous system sensor depressant. It's a depressant. So when you're using it, first you get that upswing, but then you also have that downswing. And if you're using that at a lunchtime to calm your nerves, you really need to evaluate everything as far as with your health. Just not picking on anybody. I'm just putting that out there.
I'm just, and you're right. And I would never go out with this individual again. And I can't tell you how many times I've had that happen on you know, when you go out on a date since my wife died, and all of a sudden one of them from Ukraine one day, because we were talking about something, and she's like, I don't want to talk about that. Let's drink. And I'm like, drink? No, I'm done.
We're not in college, and it's not spring break.
I already asked for bottled water. I threw $5 down for the $2 bottle of water. So I got to go. I got them walked out. You think I'm joking? I'm not joking. You guys know I'm not. No.
It is funny, though. You get around some people, and they still think they're 21 in Miami on spring break in Florida. And you're like
18 on spring break, illegally drinking alcohol. You're, like it's some kind of fun thing to
you're
do.
You're 42 years old. Why? Yeah. It's 12 in the afternoon. What are we doing? I saw videos.
She said that. Let's drink. And I'm like,
Miami.
No.
Thanks. For the first time in history, Miami has cameras, tag readers throughout every single entry point of Miami now, because so many people have descended down to South Miami and South Beach for spring break now. They're reading everybody's license plates as they come into Miami, because there's so many people that are coming down that have warrants, and basically they're felons. Yeah. Yeah, I was talking to law enforcement about it. They did a little news article on it, but it's way more. They said there's so many people that are coming down to Florida now, and a lot of people are coming down here not to just party and have fun. They're coming down here to basically rob and break into vehicles and steal stuff, because there's so much money coming down to Florida for spring break right now. It's like the whole country's descended upon Florida. I feel like we're almost like in this medieval war. Like, no, can we put a barrier up? Can we put a wall up?
I mean, going to Orlando now is just a no-go.
No, it's impossible. And I don't mean that like you can't successfully go to Orlando in any type of time management fashion at all. You can't even get there back and plan.
You can count 2 to 3 hours. It's normally 35 minutes.
One way.
That's one way.
So you got to factor in, if you have to go to Orlando to do something in the afternoon, you got to leave first thing in the morning and plan on being back around 4, 5, 6 o'clock at night. That's pretty much how you have to average Orlando.
Well, no, remember, we'd go to the chiropractor for Kissimmee. It would take a minimum 4 to 5 hours just to drive up there and come back. Yeah, yeah.
And it used to be a 25-minute drive.
Yeah, I remember I flew up there one time in 6 minutes. I had enough. We got a plane from the FBO, and just we drove like 5 minutes to the chiropractic office, hopped in the plane, flew home in 6 minutes.
Well, it was a ways back. I think it was like during, it was right that gap between Christmas and Thanksgiving. I was in Orlando pretty late. I left at like 9 or 10 o'clock, and I timed it perfect. I was up there by Millennium Mall. I got home in like 33 minutes.
That's what it's supposed to be.
And I got home and I was like, I felt like
what just
time
happened?
Warp. I'm like, I'm in a time warp. I was projecting 2 to 3 hours to get home. It was a little over 30 minutes. I was like, wow, I've got all this time now. I don't know. I got all sidetracked on that. Oh man, I had an article here.
I start on Viril Maidens. I messed up today.
Where's it at here?
I'll jump on this.
Yeah, pull.
Another diver had died in a notorious underwater cave while his two companions make it out alive. Now, I'm a scuba diver, so is Austin.
Yeah.
Now, I've done cave diving. I have. But it was a cave that I could dive into and see the other side and come out.
Cavern diving.
I mean, I don't go down into a cave dive that's like that wide that you got to take your gear off and push it in front of you.
Some guys do that, though, man.
I'm not knocking.
High risk.
And, I had another friend of ours who basically blacked out at 100 feet on a free dive. Remember that? He almost died.
Oh, yeah.
He was doing free dives. And then they pulled him up unconscious, and he said he's done. He wasn't doing it again. Yeah. Yeah. And the crazy part of it is, I mean, Austin and I have dove the Great Barrier Reef. And we've done all kinds of crazy stuff in our past, and I'm not going to go into all that.
I still love diving.
But I me too. But the thing is, I want to see where I'm going.
Yeah.
I want to see how to get out.
No, when you got to run all flashlights and basically
ropes,
sticks, and you got cables as far as that are anchored on the wall, and everybody's pulling on. Yeah, I mean it's
no,
I don't. I mean,
they're so funny now. The third guy who died, they're doing an autopsy to determine his cause of death.
Really?
That's unbelievable. I can tell you his cause of death. He drowned. He hit dead in the air. I mean, the
tank went dry.
Well, yeah, tank went dry. I mean, I've seen, I told you that story a few weeks ago about that guy that was down in Aruba with us diving off that ship whose tank went dry. We had to get him on the boat.
I say this to people all the time, and nobody understands. And I said, you realize how small and insignificant you are as a human being until you go scuba diving. Mm-hmm. You really realize it. You start seeing, 10, 15-foot sharks swimming above you. You start seeing all these other predators in the water.
You ain't the apex predator.
You ain't the apex predator anymore. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, while you're doing it, you're either expecting to be able to get up to the surface to get more oxygen, when your tank's going dry or you're free diving. So you're on a time scale every time you're underwater. Everything underwater, it breathes underwater. It doesn't have to surface.
Well, sometimes some of the mammals, some of the dolphins, and some of the whales do. But I mean, the sharks don't.
You know
have
what
to,
I mean? Yeah. Like, yeah.
All the really big apex predators. They don't have to come up.
They don't have to come up while
Except for killer whales. They got to come up.
Yeah, while you're sitting there checking your tank, you're like, oh my gosh, 1,000 PSI left. I'm about 500 in the red in the bar. All right.
And you look up and you got hammerheads everywhere.
Yeah.
You're off the coast of Costa Rica.
Yeah. Well, I got a 40, 50-foot surface. Let's send it.
Let's try not to be a snack.
Yeah. Anyways, this is interesting news. This is crazy right here. It's Comedy Central audience repeatedly applauds Tesla terrorism as Jordan Klepper justifies left-wing violence. And they actually play videos of Tesla charging stations being burned and be lighting these on fire and then joking about the arson and essentially domestic terrorism on these centers now, and saying that basically it's being justified because of what Elon Musk is doing with Doge.
Justified. Destroy other people's
literally,
property.
Not that, dude, we're literally lighting on fire giant connected substation charging stations. We're talking potential blocking and dropping the grid if these things have back charging and it goes back to these subs. Remember, these charging stations operate on an enormous amount of power. They have to put entirely new substations in to run these Tesla charging stations, and they think it's funny. It's a joke now. They're going in and setting up improvised explosive devices and Molotov cocktails and setting them on fire and going, it's justified because Elon Musk is doing Doge, so we're going to light up charging stations. Not even considering the level of ramifications and consequences that can occur if this thing gets out of control.
You know, we talked about this the other day, how the media was not picking up on all of these crazy liberals running around doing all kinds of crazy
now
things.
Now they've spun it. They've done a giant spin job on it, and they're joking about it and saying it's funny and basically saying this is what happens with, you know, Elon Musk is doing this to Doge. People are mad about it because they're getting laid off with use and all. So what they're doing is, notice
they're
from a psychological standpoint.
Justifying it and normalizing it.
Normalizing it because we aren't spending more money and blowing money that we don't have, that we don't – we're apparently just printing off now digitally.
You know, Mel Brooks said it so funny. I mean, he did that movie, The Producers.
Yes.
A little bit too gay.
Yeah, some funny stuff.
Little too gay, though. But it's got some really funny stuff. And he goes, this movie's great. It offends everybody. So when you start joking about stuff like this, start talking about stuff like this, it begins to normalize that people no longer see it as some extreme.
Well,
so that's what they're doing.
Let me clarify. You guys know me. I'm no Tesla fan. I'm no electric vehicle fan. I think the whole thing has been a giant fad. I think the whole thing has been a giant shield.
I kind of like that Plaid. That's fast.
It's quick.
1,000 horsepower.
That's quick. But I mean, it's just.
Handles awful.
Yeah, and then there's no soul to it. You don't hear anything.
But it is quick.
You know, I was down at Sebring, the 12-hour Rolex Cup last week, and went with a buddy down there. He had some passes. And, you know, hearing some of those cars, they had that one Super Trofeo V10. I mean, it came by the fence one time. I mean, he was doing probably 150, 160, and it was so loud.
Headers,
not only did it blow my ears out, I didn't have any plugs in when we went by. So I was walking, I was trying to move. You literally felt the doggone energy and pressure from that thing, from the speed and the exhaust. And I thought to myself, how cool is it, the technology we built with these internal combustion engines? Even though we have way, way, way more advanced technology than that, that technology, what it can do and propel vehicles, that level of speed, it's pretty interesting.
I remember that time we went to Sun and Fun, which is coming up, by the way.
Yeah, with the F-35.
Oh, my gosh. He takes off, and he's like 50 feet above the road when he pulls his gear up. Remember that?
Yeah.
And he's and all of a sudden, and we're probably a quarter of a mile away, 1,000 feet. And he just goes vertical. He just goes, pow, and the ground shook.
We're staying on shook, yeah.
And I thought to myself, the power of that doggone plane.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So I've always been a motorhead.
Well, that was an F-22.
That was
an
F-22, yes, it was. The F-35 was floating around, sitting there while I was taking photos of it, wasn't moving. Yeah. So, yeah, Sun and Fun, if you ever get a chance, if you love planes, you're a motorhead on that, go to Sun and Fun down here in Florida. Oh, yeah, it's a pretty cool event, and everybody comes down here for it.
Oh, by the way, Harvard is now tuition-free for families making under $200,000 per person because they're considered to be peasants. I added the
Holy
peasants.
Holy crap, under $200,000 a year?
So if you're making under $200,000, you're a peasant, I guess, go to Harvard.
Harvard, you can't pay your tuition. And quite frankly, the amount of people that apply to Harvard is very, very high, and the amount of acceptance is very, very low. And the vast majority of those people are going to make well over $200,000 a year. So they're giving out a few scholarships here and there for people under
$200,000. But they're making it sound. Oh, yeah. That's the twist. Okay.
So for Harvard, at least, it looks like there won't be any more need for U.S. taxpayers to subsidize student loans. That's because Harvard University will eliminate tuitions for people who are peasants earning less than $200,000 per year, aiming to expand access amid political scrutiny. Families making $100,000 less will also receive free housing and meals. But you got to get accepted to that place.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I've got a friend of mine. I love the guy, too. And he didn't go to college. And he's very, very successful. He's super, super successful. Very, very wealthy. And he has his oldest son now. And I tried to explain to him how the college system works.
Yeah.
I tried to say, look, it doesn't really matter where you go to undergraduate school. What matters where you go to graduate school. The only thing that matters with undergraduate school is the school's fully accredited, number one, and what your GPA is, period. So he had him invested over in a community college that also gave four-year degrees in Orlando for dual enrollment. And I said, let him finish his degree there. Let him get his master's somewhere else.
Keep his GPA up, too.
Keep his GPA up. Keep him at home. Oh, no, he had to send him to the University of Florida, and now he's crashing some of his grades.
University of Florida has some hard programs.
Well, I know they do, and so does Florida State.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he goes, well, I want him to go to Harvard or Yale for law school. And I'm like, he ain't going to Harvard or Yale without a 4.0. Not as a white boy. Not happening.
With just an undergrad?
No.
No way.
But now if you get a real good LSAT score and you got a 4.0 from any legitimate institution that's fully accredited, and my buddy may have to make a contribution to Harvard or Yale, which he could easily do. But the point is that you know,
a lot of it
but
works.
No, but I try to talk to these parents that didn't go to college, and I try to say, look, I was a college professor for a couple of years. I said, there's some things you got to realize. It doesn't matter where the undergraduate degree is. What matters is where the master's is.
The GPA, though,
and the GPA. The GPA is critical. So if you're a biochemistry major and you end up with a 3.2 GPA, which is really good, they may say, you can't go into the graduate program. Your GPA is too low. Whereas you measure in philosophy or underwater basket weaving and you got a 4.0. Oh, we'll take you. Have a 4.0. They don't weigh at all the level of difficulty of the classes that
you take. Well, no, and that's the thing. You see, like a story engineer, you know, they major in engineering. They get a 3.1, 3.2. Say they absolutely rail at LSAT. They get 165, 170 in LSAT. You're still not getting into Harvard with a
3.2. No, not going to happen.
They won't do it because what happens is it messes up their little curve. So they like having their, oh, no, everybody in this class got a 4.0 in their undergrad. They got accepted in this program.
And that's why when they say stuff like this, we give all these people free everything. You know, no, they're not
going to. Well, and you got to – I didn't think about it, too, because I was like, $200,000 is a lot of money every year as far as –
Well, now they're saying $100,000 to get free college.
But then I thought – Well, the majority of people that are going to be going into Harvard, they're just going to buy their way in there. $200,000 a year.
They get these letters from the people that are alumni, or they have people that have given large.
Have you ever actually been to Harvard?
Like, no, but my sister graduated with her doctorate in science from Harvard.
I've never been up there before.
So it's a pretty prestigious degree to have as far as from Harvard.
We're just some Florida boys.
We're a couple of yahoos with a transmitter down here. And so that's all we are. But we're very well educated yahoos.
Well, you think, but some people just absolutely just, oh man, they got to fuss about the way I pronounce something sometimes. No, listen, we're from Florida. Sometimes we pronounce a lot of things different down here than other parts of the country. Same like you get around people from New York.
And I've got the perfect excuse. My first language was German. No, and the verbs are inverted.
I used to speak German.
You did. Ich kann noch Deutsch sprechen, right? And I remember one time I had this girl that I got. She got me saved, actually. Her name was Melinda at Florida State. Got me back in school. She got me – well, I won't go into that detail. But the point was she said to me one time, she goes, you know, every once in a while your verbs are messed up. And I said, well, that's because of the German.
Yeah.
And she goes, well, can I help you with that? I said, I don't mind, just as long as you do it privately and not publicly. And within a few weeks, she had me pretty much cleaned up. So every once in a while, if I still make a mistake, I have an excuse. My first language was German. So I do the best I can.
This is also another wild article, another health article I want to get into today. It says artificial sweeteners may directly affect the heart muscle. They said scientists discovered sweet taste receptors in the heart that respond to artificial sweeteners like aspartame.
Oh, God. Aspartame is a gift that just keeps giving,
every
man.
Time I turn around, there's another research study talking about how bad aspartame is. How long does this stuff have to be on the market? It's
been on the market for 40 years.
But hey, remember this. The FDA that you guys absolutely love, they were called 10,000 pounds of organic butter because it didn't say it contains dairy on the side of it. Same guys that won't pull aspartame off the market.
The deep underground military bases had to have butter.
When I saw that at Costco's, I recall 10,000 pounds of butter, because some people might use butter and not realize it contains dairy. Newsflash, if you didn't realize butter contains dairy, you don't even need to be eating anything on the platform. I mean, you need to go eat tofu. Go live in a hole. It's butter, dude. Where do you think it comes from?
People, a lot of kids don't really, they really don't know that. Oh, by the way, new studies come out. It's in the Wall Street Journal. You'd like this. A lot of women are having facelifts at 35 now.
35?
Yeah. I mean, I figured this is going to be a little bit of, this is our mental candy segment.
35? Jeez, that's younger than me.
Well, and they're saying that basically the skin has so much elasticity there that they can basically, you know, do it, and there's so many women are losing so much weight due to Ozempic.
Ah, there you go.
That they, you know, they're 35 years old, and they've lost 100 pounds, and they've got a sunk face, and now they want to have a facelift done. And, you know, because of the elasticity, in many cases, is still there in the face and in the collagen, they have to pull the skin a little bit tighter. And they're saying that facelifts last a lot longer now because they're not just pulling the skin on top. They're going into the muscle, into the fascia underneath the skin, which is true.
Oh, that's right.
So that's why the facelifts are, because before they pull the skin tight, wouldn't touch the muscles of the skin. And within 3 or 4 years, you look the same again. Now they're saying it lasts 20 to 30 years, the one facelift.
Well, I've heard more and more as far as especially females in the, like, bodybuilding, fitness, physique, bikini industry. Because I was, you know, I competed for years, I've heard of them getting facelifts earlier now. Because the problem is, a lot of times, and you know this, when you compete a lot, you get that contest look on your face when you get really leaned out and your face gets all sunk in.
Lean, hungry look.
And so I've heard of this now, girls getting younger as far as with facelifts and facelifts, but I didn't know it was actually becoming like a thing.
Well, no, I mean, these girls are talking, they're talking about ridiculous amounts of money for these
girls. No, that's the problem, man. It's almost unattainable for anybody to get this.
Well, no, this one girl, she goes, though she had to lie flat for the first 24 hours, remain on a soft food diet for 4 days post-procedure, she now says she's happy with her reflection. It doesn't look like any work done, she said, is magic, and the price tag was only $140,000.
Holy crap.
No.
$140,000 for a surgery?
There's a great surgeon in Tampa. His name's Dr. Edward Ferrier. He's a friend of mine. I like the guy. And he does a great job. He charges like $20,000 for the face. But I don't know where they're finding people charging.
$120,000, I thought, was a lot.
No, $140,000. I saw this number, and I thought myself, what is wrong with
these people? We were buying houses in Florida 4 years ago, 5 years ago for $140,000.
But I saw this. I just started laughing. And I said,
entire houses and property for $140,000. Yeah.
But there's a picture of one of the girls who had it done. She was $71,000. And I can honestly say she looks a lot better. But, you know, the reality is that, you know, if you get a good surgeon, they can take a really pretty girl and make them stunningly beautiful. But if you get a bad surgeon, it's like having a bad attorney. It's going to cost you. Just so I'm going to let you know that. Be really careful if you decide to do something like that. Don't do bad attorneys and don't do bad
surgeons. Especially if it's something stupid that you've gotten charged with or something that basically can be long-lasting. And it's you get a good attorney and put it that way.
Oh, by the way, speaking of crazy things, Trump delivers the worst insult imaginable to Fox News star Jacqui Heinrich as colleague races to defend her. He told her she should be working at CNN. That was the actual criticism, because he felt as though she's a little too liberal for Fox.
That's not even an insult. But
what they've got to do, they've got to have these little trigger headlines. Trump offers the worst insult imaginable.
Right, but they don't say what the hell, they don't say what it is.
No, and that's the same thing with Megan Fox. Well, not Megan Fox. What was her name? Megan Kelly. You know, he nailed her pretty hard.
Yeah.
He said some pretty rough stuff to her. And, you know, and that was pretty rough. And I'm not going to bring that up again. But it was really degrading.
Going back to this, I was reading through more of this article about this aspartame. I did not realize how bad this stuff was for the heart. That's always for the brain, right? That's what I was talking about.
Let's.
Okay, we got a few minutes. Let's talk about this.
I want to go into this. I've been skimming through this because this research study just came out this week. It said the study found that these artificial sweeteners, or the STRs, are more abundant in the hearts of patients, sweet trigger receptors.
With heart failure.
They said when sweet trigger receptors are activated by aspartame, they trigger changes in heart cells that control calcium and muscle contraction.
I had no idea.
During the heart failure, the heart is changing its energetic landscape and prioritizes glucose uptake and glucose usage. This is the faster way to generate energy for the body cells when oxygen is scarce. So it's possible during this energetic change, the heart may need to change its nutrient sensing abilities to accommodate the switch. The study sheds light on while drinking too many artificially sweetened beverages is associated with irregular heartbeat. Not only are these sweet taste receptors particularly stimulated like by aspartame, it found that the overstimulation of these sweet taste protectors lead to an increase an arrhythmic-like style in the heart cells. This is because the heart contains the same sweet taste receptors, and their overactivation disrupts the normal electrical signaling within the cardiac muscle.
This is bizarre. I want you to post that article. I want you to text it to me, please. And here's why. I've got a pastor friend of mine who's been drinking this stuff for years, but haven't been heart issues.
This is
and,
crazy.
And no, and so it's I didn't realize this one. By the way, we talk about cardiac muscle function. The heart throws out an energy field approximately 15 feet to 30 feet around the body when it beats. That's how powerful the heart is. You can pick it up with a sensor. The brain throws out about a 3-foot energy field. Have you ever walked into a room and you walk up to somebody that you've not met or that you know, and you feel like repulsion, like putting two north ends of a magnet together, they push apart? That's when someone's energy field is not compatible with yours. It's basically they're putting out some really negative energy fields. And so the heart is very, very important. That's why when you take the heart out to do bypass surgery and you stop the heart, the body thinks it's dead. And in over 90% of the cases, that person's personality is permanently altered. I'm going to mention that to you. But the heart is very, very, very important because of the energy field that sends out, you know, through the sternum. And all the, you've got a huge node of nerves right here by the heart. So be really, really careful with your heart. It's you know, if it quits, it's done, right? And so just be very, very, very careful with it. Now you're learning that aspartame and diet sodas cause heart problems. That by itself, along with the brain chemistry and the brain cancer, why would you drink that stuff, guys?
Well, here's the problem, though. It's in almost everything.
It's in bubble gum. It's in everything.
It's in bubble gum. It's in breath mints. It's in drinks. Sometimes they put it in food, and they still, to this day, they still use aspartame and some bodybuilding products.
And they will use Splenda.
Or there's sucralose. And I'm like, and then one the other day, I saw it was a double whammy. It has sucralose and aspartame in it. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
Well, you know, it's funny because a lot of people get into bodybuilding and exercise and working out for health.
Correct.
And then they get wrapped up in bodybuilding and they get into the steroid cycle of it and they no longer care about the health.
No.
I've seen it.
When it goes that way, they start using especially a lot of the really, really aggressive anabolic steroids. They're really hard on your cardiovascular system.
Well, and they don't just stay on them for a few months. They go on them for years, decades, and they die in their 30s and 40s.
They're eating copious amounts of food, and then they start shooting insulin, and they start eating all this stuff with sucralose. And it becomes very unhealthy. That's why. And
so the lifestyle that was once healthy for them becomes a toxic.
A lot of the pro bodybuilders are starting to regress and go back to the old school ways now. A lot of them are starting to eat a lot more omega-3 fats. Mm-hmm. They're starting to reduce a lot of those drugs, and they're starting to realize because, I mean, there's been a lot of bodybuilders, even some that I have known, that, I mean, one of my good buddies, Dallas, he died at 27. Mm-hmm. I mean, died.
I remember when I was 21 years old, I was still bodybuilding pretty heavily, and I finally realized that the only way I was going to progress anymore was to take steroids. I had to analyze it.
Yeah.
That was pretty big. And I thought,
that's the only way to go pro. As sad as that is in that industry, nobody wants to talk about it. That's the only way to go pro in that industry.
And I decided no. I said, I'm going to study. I'm going to really focus on my school, my education, and I'm just going to back out of this. I'll still work out and stay in shape, but I'm not going to compromise my own health by using anabolic steroids because some of that stuff gets really rough on the cardiovascular system.
And the liver and the intestinal tract.
So I never took that stuff, and I never had any interest in doing it. But then again, I never competed on a national level either that was competitive.
Yeah.
But, you know, the reality was that you didn't have to do that back in the early 70s because people, not everybody was taking steroids.
Yeah, now it's everywhere.
And now these guys openly talk about it. And now because of what they did, a lot of them have to be on hormone replacement therapy the rest of their lives. And a lot of guys are going on HRTs at a very young age for no reason to do that because there's natural ways to keep your testosterone up. And they're going on HRTs in their 40s. Yeah. It's become very, very common nowadays.
Well, and that's why the Tribulus and the Tongat Alley, we always recommend those two. You can stack them or rotate them off because they really help as far as boost natural testosterone production. And as far as with that, but also too, also watch your cardiovascular health when you're training really, really hard in general. Make sure you run the CoQ10. That's another one. I was talking to a buddy about that the other day.
Very important.
If he started running our CoQ10, I tell you, he's taking 4 a day, and he started having way better energy, way better circulation, way better. He's having a little bit of issue with heart. That's why you gotta run CoQ10, man. And so again, really important, guys. If you need anything, the Ultimate Morning Energy Kit, breakfast and energy, less than a minute. That's what a queen that is.
By the way, Trump is really pushing to close down the education department.
Oh, good. It needs to. I guarantee you now we're seeing the federal judge is going to put an injunction on that.
Well, the good thing about it is Trump's ignoring all this until the Supreme Court talks about it. Because these federal judges are not supposed to legislate. That's right. They cannot legislate in advance, which is not supposed to.
It took 5 years for the Supreme Court to work the bumpers.
5 years.
Five years. Yeah.
So, hey, love you guys.
Stay strong and healthy, my friends. We'll talk to you again on this show tomorrow.
As always, remember to keep your hearts and minds in Jesus, for He is the answer for everything. Love you guys.